Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Come with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 12. The Bible says, Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. So there are two spirits. There's a spirit in the world, and there's a spirit from God. Maybe you are asking, how do I know which of the two have I received? A spirit always influences the carrier. So if you have received the spirit of the world, you will be influenced towards the things of the world. The music of the world, the fashion of the world, the things that are happening in the world will always buzz you. You will always be interested in those things. You will have a total dissatisfaction towards the things of God. You'll be a lover of the world. That's how you know, even though you are in the church, but the spirit that is operating in you is probably maybe still the spirit of the world. All your friends are worldly. The places you go to are worldly. But when you have received the spirit of God, you'll also see it through the influence that starts taking place. You start having a dissatisfaction from the things of the world, and you start having an interest towards the things of God. Oh yes. You start loving the presence of God. You start loving anointed songs, anointed books. You start liking being in the house of God. When you don't go to church, you start feeling like something is missing. You start enjoying prayer. All of those things. You start loving serving God. Getting involved in the house of God. Once you have received the spirit from God, that spirit will take you to the things of God. If you have the spirit of the world, it will take you to the things of the world. May you be filled with the spirit from God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, you are blessed. Now he says we have received the spirit from God. Listen. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit in your life is to make you aware of what belongs to you. I told you last week that God is a generous God. God is a good God. God is a giver. And God, before you even were born, he already prepared things for you. But the challenge is that sometimes you are not aware that you are not a destitute person. Sometimes you are not aware that you are an heir. Like there's an inheritance for you. There are things that God has made available for you. Please let me tell the person next to you, you are not a destitute person. You are not an orphan. Hallelujah. You have a father in heaven. Amen. And your father has made things ready for you. Hallelujah. There are blessings in God's house for you. So don't live a hopeless life. And that's why we pray in tongues. That's why we spend time praying in tongues, because we are engaging the Holy Spirit so that he can start making us aware of the things the Father has made available for us. The Bible says the Spirit of God searches all things, yea, even the deep things of God. So the Spirit of God knows the things that the Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for us. You see, but it doesn't mean God didn't prepare. God has prepared things for you. Just that your eyes haven't seen them, your ears haven't heard about them, your mind hasn't conceived those things. The only person that is aware of those things is the Holy Spirit. So the Bible says, God has made us aware of them, has revealed them to us through the Holy Spirit. This is why you have to pray in tongues. This is why you have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I was having a conversation with one of my young men during the week, and he asked me, "Pastor, you always say that the Holy Ghost told you this. How do you know when the Holy Ghost has told you something?" Don't you think that's a good question? Because if the Holy Ghost has to make you aware of the things God has made available to you, you should know how the Holy Ghost communicates. Now, there are many ways the Holy Ghost will communicate. Everybody will have their own way, but there are certain principles that are there for all of us. The Holy Ghost speaks through your thoughts. Jesus told us, He will remind you of the things that I have said. He will remind you. So the Holy Ghost works mostly in your mind. That's why five aspects of Him is just for your mind. Spirit of wisdom, spirit of knowledge, spirit of understanding, spirit. All of that is the working on your mind. So, the Holy Ghost will make you aware of things through thoughts, through pictures, through images. Especially when an image is recurrent. Like, this thing keeps coming. This thing keeps coming. Once you start praying in the Spirit, even though you're not thinking about it, it just appears in your mind. He's talking to you. He's saying to you, this is something that belongs to you. You should ask for this. You should ask for this. That's how you become aware. This is what God has given you. You don't think it is yours, but it is yours. And you say, no, but it belongs to this other person. No, they are just taking care of it. They think it belongs to them. It is not for them. The Father actually prepared it for you. So when you even start praying in tongues, He will start showing you things. And those things He's showing you are yours. Now when you become expert, you start claiming them. So I say, I take that in the name of Jesus. And you start doing other things that I'm about to show you this morning. Hallelujah. Yeah. So we now saw, you see, now come with me to Obadiah 1 verse 17. The Bible says, but on Mount Zion, say with me, Mount Zion. On Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. And there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. May you possess every possession that is yours. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I repeat, I'm hearing from the Holy Spirit. You are not a destitute person. You are not destitute. There are things for you. Now the Holy Ghost made me aware, this is mine. This is mine. How do I access my possessions? Last week we saw number one, the necessity of deliverance. On Mount Zion there shall be what? Deliverance. Luke 11:21-22. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides the spoils. Praise the Lord. Did you hear the verse I was just reading now? When a strong man guards his goods, they are secured. Which strong man are we referring to here? This is the devil. The devil was the strong man who was in charge of everything you see because Adam lost it to him. He even had the guts to tell Jesus, all this has been given to me. I own it. Jesus is speaking here to his disciples and he tells them, when a strong man fully armed guard his palace, his goods are in peace. So, up until that time, the strong man's goods were in peace. He had the souls of everybody in his hands. He had all the, everything was his. But the next line Jesus says, then, when a stronger than he comes, who is Jesus referring to? Himself. Yes. he was telling the disciple, there's a strong guy that's been around, taking control of everything. But a stronger than he has come. And just now, he's going to overpower him and overcome him. And then he goes on to say, he will divide the spoil. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus overcame the devil on the cross. He used his blood to subdue him. And he took the spoil from the hands of the devil. And he's been redistributing it to his children. And you are one of the beneficiaries of the distribution. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus has defeated the enemy. That's why you can access your goods. Until then, they were secured by a strong man. You couldn't access them. Deliverance. Number two, the necessity of holiness. Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Is it possible that the way I live can affect my good? Yes, according to the verse. Is it possible that there are things that belong to me, but I'm unable to access them simply because of how I'm living my life? Yes, even in the natural, a father can have a big inheritance for you, but when he sees how you are always moving around with tax, you are always moving around with people who don't have a future, he starts asking himself, should I release this blessing to this child? So how you live does have an effect on whether or not you will receive the things. I was listening to Bishop Dagwood Mills one time, my father in the ministry, and he said he has rewritten his will many times. When a child starts behaving in a certain way, he goes back and reviews the will. And when the child changes again, he goes back and reviews the will. You don't write the will once and for all. No, because I can put you in the thing, and after a while, I realize that you are dishonoring me. You are already disrespecting me. Should I leave your name in the will that you must come and take? No. I'll go and I call the lawyer. I say, come and sit down. Let's review paragraph 3 in section 2. Praise the Lord. Number 3, the necessity of pressing. He's saying the Holy Ghost has made you aware of what is yours. But now, how do you access it? Obadiah is telling you how you access it. Usually, God takes you through deliverance. Then God starts setting you apart. To be holy doesn't mean you don't commit fornication. And I hope this just comforts a number of you out there. When I talk about holiness, you already say, me, I'm out. The type of fornication I've been committing, I don't think God can even remember me. Holiness doesn't mean you don't commit fornication. Even though not committing fornication is part of setting you apart. Holiness simply means set apart for godly use. What does holiness mean? Set apart for godly use. In other words, you put something aside. It doesn't mix with the other things anymore. You put it aside for the purpose of using it for the glory of God. That's why, if you are thinking that holiness means fornication or not committing fornication, that's it. If we say the temple is holy, how can the temple commit fornication? If you say God is holy, 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 are you saying that God is having thoughts of fornication, but he's just holding himself? Because the angels are always saying in heaven, holy, holy, holy. Are you saying that God is struggling with serious thoughts of fornication? The angels have to remind him, no, you are holy, you are holy, you are holy. Don't commit fornication, you are holy, you are holy, you are holy. Is that what you are saying? No. You are holy, you are holy, Lord. Jehovah, remember you are holy, don't commit fornication. You are holy, my Lord. You are holy. That's not what it means. That's why you guys are always depressed. When they teach about holiness in the church, you become depressed and oppressed. Because you are saying, Pastor has not brought this subject that I don't like. No, holiness means set apart for godly use. Don't you want to be set apart? Don't you want to be set apart for godly use? That's what it means to be holy. Don't focus on the fact that you are being set apart to be used by God. That's why this microphone is holy. Why? It is set apart. You can't take this microphone and take it to the nightclub and you start doing a DJ with this microphone. This microphone is special. To be holy also means you are special. Don't you want to be special? Exactly. Exactly. Praise the Lord. Now, we learned last week that the necessity of holiness is there. The necessity of deliverance is there. But we also saw that the necessity of pressing is there. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 2 verse 24, the Bible says, rise, take your journey, cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given into your hands Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. God says, I have given you. Not I will give you. I have already given you. But look at the instruction. Begin to possess it. The house of Jacob shall possess their possession. Begin to possess it. Begin to possess it. Begin to possess it. So it is a process. You need to actually intentionally decide, I'm going for this. I'm going for this. Begin to possess the things that God is showing you belong to you. They will not be given to you a second time. They are already given to you, but they are not yet in your hands because you need to stretch your hand and start reaching out to what is yours. Begin to possess it and engage him in battle. So God is telling you there's going to be a fight. But you must know I've already defeated him in the spirit, just like Jesus defeated Satan already. And now he says, go and possess the staff. So there will be a little bit of resistance there and there. But if you are persistent, it will be yours. Are you catching it? Well, that's why this month we're talking about those who possess. Because I think some of us have been delivered. Some of us have been working on the holiness. But the greatest challenge that in my little experience as a pastor, I'm coming across, that many are not enjoying the inheritance that is theirs, not because it's not there. They don't know how to access it. They don't know how to press. Very few believers have a pressing mentality. Usually we are told, no, the Lord says we are sheep, so a sheep just relaxes. A sheep just waits. So we are sheepishly waiting for somebody to bring the straw or something to us. But the Lord said, be wise as serpents and humble as dove. Many believers have gone with the humility one. Like, no, me, I'm humble. But they haven't taken the wisdom one. Be wise as serpents. How can Jesus use a snake to teach you something? If you are only humble as doves, but you are not wise as a serpent, you will not eat. You will not eat. You will not get married. You might never have a good job. Because they say, I am sending you among wolves. But as I'm sending you among wolves, be wise as serpents. The other word for wise in the King James is be shrewd. Be shrewd, meaning use your mind. A shrewd person is a clever person. It's a person who knows how to get results using his mind. That's a shrewd person. Like, he's very clever. He uses his mind a lot. Don't you think that is the biggest problem in the church? Believers don't use their minds. Yeah.
During the week, I saw a video of some women that have gone to a river. I don't know what they told them. Maybe they told them that they will be delivered if they go to the river. Dirty water. They are rolling there. They are rolling there. All of them, even the fish can behave better. They are rolling there and they are believing that something will happen. Humble as dove, but wise as serpents. So, what I'm saying here is that deliverance, humility. Holiness, humility. But possessing, that's now you have to become wise as a serpent. If you are not wise as a serpent, certain things might never happen. Those who press, Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. You want to enjoy the kingdom? After the preaching, go and press. That's why a lot of you are still just hoping. After the preaching, you go and rest. After the preaching, my dear, you should go and press. You will see a difference. You will see a difference. If the things you had heard, or if all the preachings you have been receiving since you came to this church, if you had pressed a few of them, your life could be very, very, very far down. I'm telling you the truth. But you just receive things and you are thinking those things will fulfill themselves. God says he has given me the land of the Amorite. I'm waiting for the title deed. I hope that, I know lawyers will come with title deeds, everything ready. They will just say sign here and I will sign. And by the time I go to the land will be fenced. Clean. I will just enjoy the land. That's the mind of a lot of believers. That the thing will, you just wake up in the morning and there'll be a nice phone call, and that phone call will just change your life just like that. I'm not saying it's impossible, but usually when that has happened to somebody, ask the person, what have you done before the phone call? Because usually we don't tell you the things we did before the phone call. Today's message, press until something happens. Press until something happens. Press. 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 Get five people. Press until something happens. Press. 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 Press, press. Praise the Lord. Why must you press? Why must you force? Number one, certain things won't happen unless you press. Certain things will not happen. I hope your marriage is not among them. Because if your marriage is among those things that will not happen unless you press, start preparing yourself to die like Apostle Paul. Because if you're not going to press, certain pleasures of this life, you will just hear about them. You will just come to Beloved Encounters, you will just hear nice things. But after you hear those things, you go home, back to your pillow, back to your carpet, back to your room, all by yourself. Unless you press. Exodus 9 verse 35. Because his heart was hard, Pharaoh refused to let the people leave, just as the Lord had predicted through Moses. He refused. God's will was for the people to leave. He sent a prophet to say, let my people go. But Pharaoh refused. You will read your Bible. You will see what the will of God is concerning your life. You will say, no, no, this thing must come. But Pharaoh will say, you are not taking it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm listening. What are you going to do? You're going to press. If you don't press, another 400 years can pass. Number two, your enemy won't comply unless you press. Your enemy, he will not comply. If you lack, try to reason him. If you lack, cry. He will not comply. Unless you press. Psalm 66 verse 3. Say to God, oh, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. The greatness of your power, not your words, your power. Your enemy doesn't submit because you've been in the church for many years. Your enemy doesn't submit because you've been crying for a long time. You must bring great power before he submits. So Moses had to release 10 plagues. Then Pharaoh said, okay, you can go. And even after he let him go, he woke up again and said, you know, what have I done? He started pursuing him again. That action itself shows you that they were never going to go anywhere. I mean, even after he releases them, he lost everything, he's still pursuing them. And Pharaoh is the type of the devil. Number three, there's no waiting for miracles. There's only working of miracles. There's no waiting for miracles. There's only working of miracles. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 9. To another, the working of miracles. And to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirit, and to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same spirit works all these things, distributing to one individually as he wills. To another, the working of miracles. Not the waiting for miracles. The working. So when you see a miracle somewhere, there's been work. Every miracle is a display of great work that has taken place. Working of miracles. Working. May you start working your miracles in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And so when a person is working a miracle, he's thinking, if it was God, I mean, it could have just happened by itself. Read your Bible carefully. Everywhere you see a miracle, God did something, man did something. The Red Sea opened because God told Moses, stretch your rod. You don't stretch the rod, the Red Sea is not opening. He put saliva in the eyes of one and said, go wash yourself in the pool. There's always a part you play in every miracle. He wants to get them out of Egypt. He says, take an animal, kill the animal, do this, do this, do this. Isaac wants to bless his son. Say, go to the bush, hunt, get a meal, cook it, bring it, then I'll bless you. The working of the miracle, and this is good news for you. Maybe you were not aware, but everything you are doing every day, small, you are contributing your little part in the working of the big miracle that God is about to bring in your life. That's why it's dangerous to just sit and wait. When your church explodes, it means there's been hours of prayer and there was nobody in the church. There were hours of study of the word and there was nobody in the church. There were hours of visiting people and still the input was not matching the output. But a day comes when God comes now and meets you halfway and nobody can explain how things have just changed. And usually, even at that time, you yourself forget that he's been monitoring you in your little things. He says, you are faithful in little. I cannot bring the increase. So as you are there, you are not seeing much happening yet, and you are already discouraged. This is not the time to be discouraged. This is the time to continue pressing. Continue pressing. Continue working on the miracle. Continue working on the thing. Whatever you are trusting God for, continue doing your part. Fully. Number four. Unless you press, no one will press for you. I'm explaining why you must press. When you woke up this morning, did you woke up with Pastor Pascal in mind that you must press every issue out of Pastor Pascal's life? And Lady Pastor Pumi, you are pressing issues in our lives. You are pressing issues in the life of Israel, my son. You are pressing issues in the life of my daughter. Have you been, who does that? And we love each other, I know. And there's compassion. But there's no one who can press for you. So when you are not pressing, guess what? Nothing is being pressed. Have you ever seen a car, when you press the accelerator in this car, the other car start going fast? I'm pressing the accelerator on your behalf. I'm pressing on my car. And whilst I'm pressing my car, your car start going fast. No, the car where the accelerator is being pressed, that's the car that will go fast. John 5:5-7. Now a certain man was there who had had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, pressing nothing. So stop lying down. Lying there. Sleeping. Resting. Jesus knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time. He said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me in the pool. I have no one to press for me. I need somebody to press for me. Nobody is pressing for me. That's why you've been dead 38 years. You are waiting for somebody to come and press for you. But what you don't understand, everybody presses for themselves. Matthew 6:6-7. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing there around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day? Why have you been standing all day long doing nothing? You've been standing all day long doing nothing. Doing nothing. Because no one has hired us. They answered. I have no one to throw me in the pool. That's why I'm lying here. No one has hired me. That's why I'm standing here. I'm waiting for someone to come and do something. That's the problem. A lot of us are waiting for someone to come and rescue, to come and see you. Are you pressing anything? Number 5. You don't have as much time as you think you do. must I press Muruti? Because you don't have as much time as you think you do. Have you ever seen somebody on the road taking his time? Because he's thinking, between now and reach the place, I've had time, I can relax on the road. Okay. Then he gets a call that, where are you? They say, I'm on the road. They say, I get it, the thing is starting in 3 hours. They say, no, the thing has started. Hey. Bang! Accident. You don't have as much time as you think you do. You see, that's why you haven't been pressing. You haven't been pressing because you think you have time. You know, I can relax. You don't have as much time as you think. And if you were aware of your delays, if you were aware of the actual timing in the realm of the spirit, maybe you could be pressing by now. Maybe you could be pressing more if you were aware truly of how delayed you are already. John 4:35. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until the harvest? Relax. It's still 4 months. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. How can it be that the fields are ripe for harvest, but you are thinking you still need 4 months? How can that be? You are deceived. You are heavily deceived. You think you have time, yet the time has come. Number six. Life is not fair. Yeah. I'm trying to help you to press. And I'm explaining why you must press. Life, help me tell a person, life is not fair. Life is not fair. There are many contradictions in this life. Many contradictions. That if you don't press to correct the contradictions, you are hoping that life will be fair on you, that life will see how you've tried, and life will be fair just by itself. I think you can be very disappointed. You can be very disappointed. 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 1. Now Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Life is not fair. Valiant, great, this, but he had leprosy. And if you know the story, Naaman needed to press from Syria to Samaria. After pressing like that, only God knows how many months it took him. Then he arrived in Samaria. Now he's told, press more, go to the Jordan and dip yourself. Not one time, not that, 7 times. Otherwise, you remain a leprous commander. Commander with leprosy. You see, no, life must be fair. Life must see that I'm a commander. How can I be a commander and I have leprosy? How can I be a commander and I'm still struggling here? No, life must be fair. Life must know that I am a commander and leprosy mustn't come to me. If you don't press, that leprosy will stick to you and take you to the grave. So Naaman is a commander, but Naaman must press the leprosy out of his system so that things can balance. There are so many contradictions in this life that if you don't learn to press, You will be there waiting, and I know somebody is aware that I've tried this. No, somebody knows that I've been doing it. You'll be shocked. You'll be shocked at how life will reward you. Because life is not fair. 2 Kings 2 verse 19. The people of the city said to Elisha, look, our land. Oh no, look, our Lord. This town is well situated. As you can see. But the water is bad. And the land is unproductive. Contradictions. The land is well situated. As you can see. In the right location. But things are not working. I said the church is in the right location, but things are not working. You are a child if you think just because it's in the right location, just because you think because you have good intentions, you know, people will come because you have good intentions. You know, you've decorated the place, people will come. You don't know people. You don't understand. This morning, wisdom is coming to you, life. Wisdom is coming to you. That's why you are waiting. You are beautiful, as we can all see. No, we can all see you are very beautiful. Oh, you finished school. We can all see that you finished school. So normally, after you are beautiful and you finish school, life must reward you by giving you a nice job. Do you know how many people are sitting at home and thinking, this is not fair? This is not fair. I finished school 3 years ago and I did extra courses and I did this. I'm still sitting here. It's not fair. Baby, life is not fair. If you then learn to press, many contradictions will remain. Luke 1, 6 to 7. They were both righteous before God, walking in all his commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless, but they had no child. They were righteous. This is Zechariah and his wife, Elizabeth. They were righteous, doing everything right in the church, but no child, but no job, but no husband, but no wife, but no promotion. Even though you are doing everything perfect, the holiness is there, the deliverance is there, the possessions are not there. Number 7. Even Delilah pressed Samson. I would like, every time we talk about Delilah, it's in a bad way. But for the sake of this message, I would like Delilah to inspire you. That Delilah, even Delilah used the key of pressing. And after using the key of pressing, she brought down the mighty Samson. I see you bringing down mighty things, mighty things, mighty things. You bring them down through the power of pressing. Mighty things. Judges 16 verse 16. The Bible says, it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words. She pressed him daily. You see that joblessness, unemployment. How often do you press it? No, let's talk. You are always criticizing Delilah. Delilah, she's a seductress. She's a bad woman. She's a strange woman. I agree with you. But Delilah managed to bring an anointed man of God down. You with all the anointing, with all the prayer, you haven't brought unemployment down. She pressed him daily, daily, daily. So that his soul was vexed unto death. Look, you must press celibacy. you must press curses daily until the curses are vexed and to death. Before he knew it, he told her all his heart. Everything. He released everything. Are you here? Look, you are pressing in the name of Jesus. You are pressing. You are pressing. This is the missing key. This is the missing key in our lives, in our ministries, in our families. We don't press enough. You're trying to relate with somebody, but as soon as they give you a negative attitude, you withdraw yourself. You withdraw yourself. Why must you press number 8? Potiphar's wife pressed Joseph. Somebody asked, Pastor, why are you using this type of example? This is what you will understand. This is the example you will understand, because this is what Satan is doing on you. There are some of you, you are listening to me right now. Satan is pressing you. There are people that he has presented in your life. They press daily. They WhatsApp daily. Sometimes twice a day. In the morning and in the night. They will press daily, daily, daily. With all your holiness, oh, you are beginning to have other thoughts. Your holiness is shaking like this. Everything is shaking like this. Because there's a pressing going on. Why can't you learn from these women that were pressing? And you also start pressing your problems. The Bible says in Genesis 39 verse 10, she kept putting pressure on Joseph day by day. She kept putting pressure. She kept putting pressure day by day, day by day, day by day. Listen, you better start putting the pressure. You need to increase the pressure. Put the pressure. The issues that are tormenting you, do they feel any pressure? Tell me. Are the issues feeling the pressure that this person wants to break free? Look, I see you pressurizing certain things. Three winning attitude of a presser. A presser. This is what, number one, a presser is determined. You can't press if you are not determined. Determination. This thing will bar. This thing will. This church will grow. This cell will grow. This center will increase. Determination. This girl will marry me. Determination. This job, I will not be unemployed before 2025 is over. This thing is coming out. Some of you are still giving 4 months. You are still giving yourself 4 months. That's why the things are there. There's no determination. Receive your determination in the name of Jesus. Determination, determination. Luke 9:51. The Bible says, now, when the time was approaching for him to be taken up to heaven, he was determined to go to Jerusalem to fulfill his purpose. Jesus, he was determined to go to Jerusalem to fulfill his purpose. Are you determined to fulfill your purpose? I know you love your purpose. I know you know about your purpose. But are you determined to fulfill it? Are you determined to become a great man of God? Are you determined to become a great woman of God? Are you determined? That's why you're not pressing. That's why you're not pressing. Because if you are really determined, the pressing will start being there. You start pressing this thing, man. You start pressing this thing. Are you determined to have a house of your own? Are Are you determined to take your area for Jesus? Are you determined? That area where you are will belong to Jesus. There's no determination. That's why the devils are running all over town. There's no determination. There's a desire, but there's no determination. Number two, a presser is restless. Number one, a presser is determined. Number two, a presser is restless. Genesis 27 verse 4. You will live by the sword and you will serve your brother. That's already a problem. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck. When you grow restless, you will change that situation. But if you are not restless, the situation will keep holding you. Subdue you. Certain things are there because even though you have a desire, but you are not restless. You are not restless. The thing can feel you are comfortable. You are beginning to adapt. You are beginning to adapt to this. You know, when you are restless, you are not comfortable, and you make the thing realize, I am not comfortable and I'm not going to leave you here. I'm going to change this thing. But here you are, you've already adapted. You are figuring out how you're going to maneuver around it. You know, you are figuring out how you can survive despite the thing. Ha. Same verse, NLT. Listen to NLT translation. You will live by the sword and you will serve your brother. But when you decide to break free, you shall shake his yoke from your neck. When you decide to break free, that will be the end of it. Lastly, a presser does things utterly. Utterly. In other words, you don't do it halfway. Utterly, meaning you bring it all down. Thoroughly, completely, nothing is left. That's a real presser. That's a real presser. Not a presser you wanted to have five. After you got two, you say, okay, no, after all, I got two, so it's fine. I mean, we can just settle with two. Thoroughly, utterly. That's a real presser. You will think he's satisfied because we are 99. No, but he's going to get with that one. I wanted 100. 99 is different from 100. Ah, but what is the difference between 99 and 100? I mean, it's almost a no. I want 100. Where is 100? So I'm leaving 99 to go get one. Yes. Jesus is a presser. A presser. He doesn't rest until he's done. That's a true presser. And this mind is missing in the body of Christ. That's why a lot of mediocrity is around and rampant all over. We don't press enough. Joshua 8:25-26, it says, so it was that all fell, that day. How many fell? All fell that day. Both men and women, and there were about 12,000. All fell, all died. All the people of Ai, that city called Ai, from the first to the last, all of them were killed. Verse 26, because Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. So Joshua placed his hand like this. And his hand remained like this until the last person fell. He didn't do it like this. He left his hand like this until everybody died. That's real pressing. I want you to think about these three attitudes. Maybe this is why you are not pressing. Determination is no more there. You have settled. You just go with the flow these days. You are at ease now. You are no more restless. You are at ease in Zion. And the Bible says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Woe to them. You are at ease as a pastor. You are at ease as a shepherd. You are at ease as a lady pastor. You are at ease as a shepherdess. You are at ease. You are at ease as an unemployed person. You are at ease as a student. You are at ease. No determination. No restlessness. And no attitude to utterly, thoroughly, completely alienate the problem. You will see as you are fighting cases, after two cases are falling down, you relax. Then those cases start fortifying themselves. 10 years down the line, they are ready to face you again with more strength. The word has come this morning. To break this mentality and tell you, if you truly press, something will happen. So press until something happens. If nothing has happened, I don't think you should stop pressing. I don't think you should stop pressing. Praise the Lord. I want you to raise your voice to the Lord right now and start asking Him to restore in your soul the attitude of a presser. Father, restore determination. Father, restore decision making. Father, restore anything that has since has been shifted. I am no more this person that is ready to face this thing. Come and open your mouth and cry for mercy. Open your mouth and cry for mercy. Keep praying. Yes, Lord. May the Spirit of God stir you up again this morning. Receive the Spirit again. The Spirit of a presser. Receive that Spirit. Receive that Spirit. Receive that Spirit that you will not settle. You will not settle. You will not go halfway. You will not be at ease. Receive that Spirit again to press at home, in the ministry, in your family, to press, to press. Mantonema, Shantenamo, Masema Nema, Katoma Nema, Oh Yapenema, Soparandere Mandereba. Oh Jesus. Makanama, Father, ignite me again. Father, revive the fire. Revive the fire in my soul. In my soul. Open my eyes. I think I have time. Meanwhile, there's no time. Father, help me. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. You are receiving strength. You are receiving the Spirit of God. And that Spirit, as long as you are aware that you haven't been pressing, if at least you are aware of that, if all this series does, at least making you aware that you are lying down or that you are just standing doing nothing. And I also want to quickly say to you, maybe the reason why you are not pressing because nobody is pressing around you. And then change your entourage. It's difficult to press when you are surrounded with non-pressers. It's very difficult. Be intentional about who you follow. Be intentional about who you look up to. That you live in the village shouldn't make you a villager. You can live in a village, but you are miles and billions of years away from that village because of where you are getting your inspiration. Don't let your surrounding determine your pressing. God is helping somebody. Now, before we close, if you are watching and you are not born again, or you are born again but you are not a strong Christian, you haven't been pressing in your faith. By the way, don't miss next week. Next week, I'm going to show you things to press. Like, press this one, press this one, press this one. Your things will change. So you are, yes, maybe you are born again, but you haven't been pressing anything. You are just there, going with the flow. And no more charting the course. God wants to help you right now. And I want to pray with you. You want to give your life to Jesus? Remember last week we learned that that's the first deliverance, salvation. I want to pray with you. Say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. If that is you, repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.